Yes, I worship your holy name. Thank you for your amazing grace and your relentless love. God, thank you for giving up everything so that our relationship with you can be restored. And Lord, thank you for sweet brokenness.
To the cross I cling.
Secondly, draw me gently to my knees, and I am forward so lost in love. I am sweetly broken, only surrender. The cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost forward so lost in love. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for being the biggest reason that we should be thankful and grateful, Lord. Thank you, God, for your love, for your grace, Lord, for redeeming us, for restoring us. We have 10,000 reasons to bless you today, God, and we can only name a few. But Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this time of worship and singing together. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, good morning and welcome to Southfield. My name is Brian, and on your way in, you should have received a folder. On the inside of that folder, it's one of these cards. Maybe you've filled it out 100 times. We like to know that you're here every week, so fill it out again. If you're new with us this morning, go ahead and fill it out with as much information as you're comfortable filling out. Again, just so we know you're here. If you're new or visiting with us today, we ask that you actually, instead of turning it in when the offering is received at the end of the service, we ask that you hang on to this, and on your way out the door, let us know. We actually have a gift for you this morning. So again, if you're new, fill out the card, and then on your way out the door, let us know so we can get that gift to you. Now, without further ado, we're going to move straight into today's question. And today's question, in honor of the Manuka High School graduation today, we are going to ask you if you could go back to a stage of school, a period, whatever grade you could go back to, whatever teacher you had, whatever class. What is that time? All right, so again, you'll have 1 minute on the clock, and I'm kind of interested to hear these answers, so go ahead, hit that now.
All right, so the correct answer is, ain't no way I'm going back. That's done, man. Overdone, got the diploma, ain't no way I'm going back. We are going to make time at the end of our talk today for questions. So we've been doing this recently where you get a chance to go ahead and tweet, text, or toss a question in this direction. So if you haven't been here for this part before, basically if you tweet something, just include the hashtag SDMP. If you're going to text, the number is up there. And then if you're technologically challenged or over 50, you're allowed to throw paper. So whatever it might be, you know, there might be a question that comes up based on things we talk about, a scripture reading, whatever, and we like to go ahead and answer those on the spot, and actually have a backlog of a couple that we'll bring out today too, in case you missed them. So I want to go back and do a quick review of last week. I think it's very important to talk about my meal, all right? So last week we talked about gratitude and that when you see good things, first of all, you got to see it. You got to see the goodness. Boy, we can see a lot of bad junk in our world, can't we? But we need to see the goodness. And then we savor it. We take the time to stop and think about it and enjoy it and love it. So we savor it. And then you say it. It may be saying it to someone else. It may be saying it to a journal. Just, hey, this is the goodness of God in my life. So this was our very good meal we talked about. And it looks even better on a huge screen, doesn't it? And ultimately, that's what it looked like right there. Yeah. Now, I was going to be really kind of cool last week and make the right word. I think I called it teriyaki sauce. Heaven forbid. They're no longer sauces. It's a glaze, okay? So it's, and I forget what, a balsamic glaze. Quite wonderful, quite wonderful. So then ice cream. We made ice cream. And some of you, I should actually be getting a cut from KitchenAid this week, okay? Because I'm seeing a lot of people that bought their KitchenAid ice cream thing. The thing you got to know, if you buy this attachment, it's got to sit in the freezer for a while. It's got to get cold. So you want to give it a couple of days. Don't do it right away. So you see it blending there, and then you see it in my little container and ultimately in my bowl. And it wasn't long before that was gone. And this is the nice little tool we like to keep the ice cream in. You can find that on Amazon as well as the Ben and Jerry's ice cream dessert book. That's where the peach ice cream is, all kinds of other stuff. So if you get nothing else out of today, we hope this blessed you. All right. It was a fantastic meal. It was wonderful. Can't wait to do it again. So today is graduation day. As Brian said, at Minooka, other places, colleges are graduating. Great day. I mean, it's just awesome to be able to walk across that stage, get that diploma, get that handshake, know that you finally accomplished this thing in life. And that's fantastic and wonderful. And we're very proud of you and very excited for you. And yet I got to tell you this. From the standpoint of somebody who's been there, got the t-shirt, this arrived at my house this past week. 30th reunion of college. I mean, yes, I am that old, believe it or not. They send it to me, and it's really for us. It's really us. So when I look back at you guys graduating today, if you can imagine the analogy, it would be kind of like you as a high school graduate looking back at a bunch of preschoolers and saying, good for you, you learned how to spell, right? Or whatever you do in preschool, share cookies, you name it. And so we look back as people that have been there for a little while and we say, it's a great accomplishment, but guess what? While you're looking at it like it's a finish line, we see it as a starting line. You're about to start something all over again. In the immortal and slightly distorted words of Karen Carpenter, you've only just begun to live. The best is yet to come. At least I hope the best is yet to come. Because if high school's the mountaintop, it's a long time to coast to the end of that mountain. Hopefully this was the low point, and the best truly is yet to come. Now, having said that, the same is true in our spiritual lives. You know, we come to these places in our spiritual lives, these places of growth, and we think, wow, I've accomplished that. That's done. I've got that in the rearview mirror. But I got to tell you, when it comes to the spiritual life, you're supposed to always be growing. Right up to your very last breath, you're supposed to be growing. I want you to do something with me. We're rather participatory around here. Take your hand, put it in front of your mouth, and do this. If you felt that, you're alive. And if you're alive, you still have growing to do. And I got news for you. If you're 85 years old, you still have growing to do. We all have growing to do. We looked at this verse last year when we were at our baptism service out by the river. This verse in Colossians 2 says, and now, just as you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord. You see, a lot of people want to put a period there. I accepted Jesus. I walked across the stage. I got the diploma and the handshake from God. Congratulations, I'm going to heaven. That is just the starting point of the spiritual life. That is not the conclusion. Paul says, just as you have accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, you must continue to follow him. Literally, to the end of your days, you are learning what it means to be a great follower of Jesus. And what's the goal? What is all this growth about? I mean, he talks about growing your roots down deep on him, letting your life being built on him, letting your faith grow strong. What is this all about? Well, Romans 8:12 tells us, you know, there are a lot of times these verses in the Bible that are really popular, like Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Or Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. We love these verses, but we miss the verses that follow. And the verse right after Romans 8:28 says this, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. So here's my question for you today. You think you're done growing. You've arrived. Congratulations. You're there. Boom. Do you look exactly like Jesus in every possible way? If you can say yes to that, stand up and leave. We'll watch. None of us are there. literally right up. I said, you grow till 85, you grow right up until your last breath, because even the way we die can be an imitation of the life of Jesus in us. And so in every possible way, we continue to grow. If I could just summarize that verse for us so you could take it with you for throughout the week. He chose me to become like his son. That's why God chose you. Not just that you won't go to hell. Not just so that all those. He chose us to become like Jesus, to look like Jesus. And so there's a term that we use around here, a question. You'll see this question in other evangelical churches. It's not unique to us. You'll visit other websites. You'll see it in other places. It's part of the evangelical vernacular right now, but I got news for you. We mean it. We don't just say it. We mean it. And the question is this: what's your next step? We all have growing to do. What's your next step? What's the next thing that God wants you to undertake? The next step. For these high schoolers, they walk across that stage today, and it's like, okay, now what's your next step? What, you know, college, career, and the kids are like, man, I just finished this. Why are you pushing me for more? Because there's a next step to be had. And there's a next step for every one of us to have. And today I want to dare you to move. I want to dare you to think in terms of, I've thought I was at this step and I'm good and now I can land, and God's saying, no way. You got more growing to do. We're moving into summer. Summer's a time, theoretically, where we get to relax a little more. Kids are off school. We're taking some vacations. But what we don't do is take a vacation from our spiritual life. In fact, just the opposite, it's a great time to ramp up our spiritual life a little bit, to look at the areas that we need to do some growing and maybe zero in on something and say, this is the step that I'm going to take this summer. So what I want to do is look at the steps from the standpoint of school. And I'll tell you flatly, there's a little bit of a sense in which this is contrived, okay? We're going through and looking at steps, and they correlate to grades. I don't want you to get the impression that they all happen successively. Sometimes in your spiritual life, even though you're in graduate school, you're going to take a trip back to junior high. All right? So don't get the impression that it's all successive. Except the first one, your very first step, kindergarten. Kindergarten was great. I mean, especially when I went to a kid, because they didn't make us do anything. We had a rug and we took a nap. And we made stuff and ate cookies. I don't think I could count, write, spell, or anything after kindergarten. It was about smiling and having fun. It was the best. Kindergarten was fantastic. Kindergarten was really about the first step out of the nest and into the real world. And hopefully that step was a safe step and a wonderful step and a good step. There's a kindergarten for every person spiritually. And that's your very first step. What are you going to do with God? What are you going to do with God? What are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to take this step or not? Are you going to finally cross the line of faith and say, yes, I choose Jesus as the forgiver of my sin and the leader of my life? Or are you going to continue to debate it, analyze it, think about it, put it on the shelf till next year? What are you going to do with God? None of the other grades happen if you don't go to kindergarten in the spiritual world. You got to take that first step. And we talk about it a lot around here. We talk about the fact that it's by grace we're saved through faith, not of ourselves, not the good things we do. It's a gift from God, a gift God wants to give you freely if you will just pray and believe. On the inside of your folder, there's a prayer on the right-hand side, and it says prayer of belief. It's a great starting point to just sit and take that in the quiet and talk to God, talk through the concepts there, talk about the fact that you know you've sinned, that sin is separated from you, God, from God. Talk about the fact that you know that believing in Jesus Christ is the only way to have a relationship with God and make that commitment to him. If you're going to grow at all, you got to go to kindergarten. And this summer, I'm telling you, for those of you that haven't done it yet, I dare you to move. I dare you to find, I don't know what you're waiting for, honestly. It's only your eternity that's at stake. It's no big deal, right? It's just heaven and hell and everything else. That's all. This is the most important thing you'll ever do. What are you waiting for? It's based on the Bible. It's based on the word of God to us. What are you waiting for? cross the line, get your kindergarten diploma, and let's get growing. Let's go. So let's go to the next stage. That would be elementary school. For me, that was first to sixth grade. I know they're messing with that these days, but first to sixth grade, what happens in elementary school? So now you've crossed that line of faith. You've graduated kindergarten. You're into elementary school. And basically what I found elementary school to be about was a couple things. Learning to do what the teacher says and learning to do things repeatedly that you'll need for the rest of your life. So if the teacher said, stand up, you did it. If the teacher said, don't talk unless you raise your hand, you did it. And you learned that if you didn't do those things properly, you'd have some difficulties. You also learned some habits that you needed. Like, you know, we did this addition thing, and then they brought in subtraction. I'm like, okay, I got this down. And then they take the little plus sign and put it on its side, and I'm like, what are you doing? You're messing with me. And they're just, you know, they keep adding all these different things, or like writing. I finally got writing down, and they said, okay, now we're going to go slanty, and we're going to connect all the letters. I'm like, oh, would you stop this? You're killing me. I liked first grade. Just leave me where I am. We kept learning new and more things as we went through elementary school. Elementary school is about two things: learning to obey the teacher and learning disciplines you'll need for the rest of your life. Elementary school for us spiritually is obeying the teacher, Jesus, and getting some habits that we'll need for the rest of our lives. The habit of prayer. The habit of opening your Bible and reading. The habit of gathering together with other believers on a regular basis. These are habits you'll need for the rest of your life. But also that thing of obedience. If God says to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to debate it. I'm just going to do it. So for some of you, your first step is this whole issue of baptism. This summer, when we go down to that river, it's time for you to finally say, you know what? I realize that somebody may have baptized me in the past. I realize that something else happened to me, whatever. It is time for me, myself, to stand in water and say, I belong to Jesus. And my question would be, if that's what God says we're supposed to do, why aren't you doing it? I dare you to move. I dare you to take that step this summer. And by the way, that's only one of many, many steps. It's not like you check that one off and say, oh, good, now I've obeyed. For the rest of our lives, there's a part of us that remains in elementary school, and we continue to learn more and more and more what it means to obey Jesus. So let's keep moving along with school. Junior high. Did anybody say they wanted to go back to junior high? You people. Oh, my word. Woo! Junior high. Misery. I mean, I just, of all the parts of school, forget, if we could just jump straight from 6 to 9 and skip that part, it was a fun time. Anyway, part of junior high, right, is learning that you have emotions and you better learn how to control them, right? You can't just blast and get angry and have other people still like you. You got this little nice little hormonal tornado going on inside, this volcano that just wants to blast at any time. Boom! And that's what you're doing all through junior high. What's spiritual junior high all about? Learning how to bring our emotions under the control of Jesus Christ. Learning that it's not okay to just blast and be mad. Learning that life isn't about being happy every minute that you exist. Learning what it means to be a healthy person emotionally under the control of God. You know why some of us like to skip junior high? That's hard work. That's tough work. It's tough work to grow emotionally. But in the junior high stage of life, God is calling on us to do some emotional homework. And maybe that's where you are right now. You know one of the ways you know that you need to do some emotional homework? The same bad thing keeps happening over and over again when you keep doing the same bad thing and you're wondering why it doesn't turn out differently. You know? I mean, you keep blowing up at people, they keep leaving your life, and you go, I just don't understand why they keep leaving my life. Let's just stop and think about that one for a minute. When you see the same thing happening all the time based on the same emotional reaction, it might just be that God's saying, this is an area that you haven't graduated from junior high yet. We got some work to do here. And this is hard work, but I tell you what, I dare you to move. Because if you will finally move on from some of these junior high stages, now you're getting into the real work of the spiritual life. Now you're moving beyond just yes and no, and I'll do the right thing and I won't do the wrong thing too. I'm actually starting to experience what it means to live the fruit of the Spirit in my life. You can start living what we talked about last week, living a life of gratitude instead of just being a grumbler all the time, looking at all the bad in the world. So we got to do our junior high homework. Then comes high school. Theoretically, high school is all about relationships, right? Forget the schoolwork. It's all about our friendships. It's about the first boyfriend and girlfriend. I know some of you were very advanced and had elementary school, junior high, all that kind of stuff. But for a lot of us, high school, that's where we went, oh, boy, oh, girl. You know, and things started to wake up, and we liked other people, and we actually cared about what our friends thought. We'd, you know, do a check and go, my goodness, I better stop smelling like that. I'd like to have friends. We didn't care about that in junior high. Just walk into any junior high school. Oh, my word. But anyway, you know, we cared about that. We cared about things like maybe it'd be a good thing to brush my teeth and get the fungus off there. We cared about that. We cared about the clothes that we wore. It's amazing to watch this kid in high school suddenly one day come walking out of the room and you go, oh, my goodness, you discovered a comb. Amazing. That's fantastic. You discovered new clothes. Wonderful. And what's that all about? It's about I actually care about what other people think. There's some relational work that God wants all of us to do. He actually put us together not to just come listen to some music and listen to a sermon and walk home. He brought us together to grow in relationships. And high school in the spiritual life is about saying, I'm going to do more than just attend a service. I'm actually going to start to develop some relationships because I know those relationships will prompt me and grow me closer to God. Now, here's the thing. Unlike a TV show, relationships are hard. They're a pain in the neck. You got to make time for them. Have you noticed in relationships, not everybody agrees with you? What's that all about? That's just not fair. Everybody should agree with me. I'm always right, right? We go through all this stuff relationally, and that's when we start to go, I think I'm just going back to junior high. I'm just going back and throw a fit, do it my way, instead of learning how to grow relationally. God's looking for us to make some steps there. So let's say that you're continuing to move along. Now it's time for college of the spiritual life. College is where you went to learn some things. There should come a point in your spiritual life that you're actually starting to know what's in the Bible outside of what the pastor tells you. That you should actually open that thing on your own, read it on your own, and go, I get it. I understand. Now, you won't understand everything. I don't understand everything. But there's a lot of it that's pretty plain. There it is. And we need to actually engage Scripture and get to know it ourselves. I knew a guy years ago. He was almost 50. He had gone to church all his life. And anytime something spiritual come up, here's what he'd say. Well, I don't know what the Bible says about that, but. And I'm like, well, why not? You own like 18 of them in all kinds of different versions. Open them, look at them, read them, get to know what's going on in there. All of us need to do some work on our own getting to know what God has to say. That's through reading the Bible. It's through reading other books. It's through listening to teachers and allowing our lives to be formed in some knowledge. Get to know more about God. God wants you to go to college. He wants all of us to go to spiritual college and learn more about God. Now, learning may not be your thing. And I get that. Some people are more wonky than others, and I get that. But regardless, there should be a degree to which we all want to know the Bible on our own and not just leave it up to someone else to tell us what it says. So now it's time to move on. You graduated spiritual college, graduate school. Graduate school is where you specialize. Where you take all the knowledge you had and you said, I'm going to focus on this one thing, this one topic. I'm going to do a master's on this particular thesis. I'm going to learn about this particular area. This is what I want to know in order that I can do my job. The master's work God wants you to do is to help you to wake up to this question. Why in the world am I here? Why did God put me on this earth in 2015 in the middle of a cornfield in Illinois? Why am I here? What's my life all about? And God wants us to come to some resolution of that question, that we start to understand that there's more to life than waking up, getting the coffee, eating a little breakfast, going to work, coming home, cashing the paycheck, going to bed and doing it all over again. There's more to life than that. God's put us here for a reason. And your graduate work is to start to discover that reason. And the funny thing about that is some of us will get real adventurous and try to figure it out on our own. And we try and try and try and we're frustrated. And then one day an experience happens to us, something happens, and we go, that was great. And there's this light bulb moment that we go, I get it. I get why God has me here. Are you willing to take that next step to actually start thinking through, why do I exist? Why did God put me here now in this family with these people in this community, in this job, in this school? Why here now? Let's take you to the last stage, and that's lifelong learning. Here's what I love about lifelong learning. Everything you've done up until now, you go, I don't think I understand a bit of it. I don't think I get it. Just when we think we finally get it, we don't get it. You finally figured out grace, right? I mean, you did a study on grace. You got it all figured out. Boom, 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 penciled out. There it is. And then life throws you some curves. And you go, that's not the way grace works. Look at my Bible study over here. That's not the way it works. That whole idea of balancing truth and love, that can be pretty complex. That's not as easy as it sounds. There are a lot of things. The relational thing. You're flowing along in your relationships, and then you experience an incredible betrayal. What are you supposed to do with your relationships now? What do you just withdraw from everybody and say, people aren't safe? I'm done with this. I'm not doing this anymore. And so in lifelong learning, you're taking all the things you've learned up until now, and you are just walking with God in faith, learning more. You're learning what the word trust means. We all think we know what trust means. And then God puts us in a spot that we say, I just think God's forgotten me. Well, guess what? Now he's saying, okay, let's see if you trust me now. Do you trust me now? And so God puts us in this school. Now, I begin to understand why some of us want to say kindergarten was enough. I'm going to heaven. I don't have to worry about anything more. Because all of this is hard work. But I dare you to move. I dare you to actually continue to follow Jesus. Not just accept Jesus as forgiver and leader and watch him keep walking and say, I'm good here. I'm just not walking any. Keep walking with him. Keep following him. Keep going after him every day. Now, all these steps, it's not as if we sit down and invent our steps, okay? I mean, there are things that every one of us needs to do. We all need to learn how to pray. We all need to learn how to read the Word of God. But we have this fantastic spiritual director, and his name is the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God is placing growth opportunities before us all the time. And the Bible says that we have a tendency to do some things with our growth opportunities. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. That's quenching the Holy Spirit. Stephen in his sermon in Acts 7 says, these people are stubborn, they're heathen at heart. You must forever resist the Holy Spirit. That's what your ancestors did, and you do too. We resist the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit is handing us a syllabus. He's saying, this is what you're going to do. He hands us an opportunity that relationally is very difficult. And we say, I just don't want to do that one anymore. I was talking to somebody not too long ago who is at a growth point, a true spiritual growth point, and they've said, I'm done. I don't want to deal with that. Now, you know what the Spirit does at that point? He doesn't assign us to a new class. He just says, fine, sit there. Enjoy your chair. Just sit there. Stew on it for a while. And he'll let us sit there. And we don't move. Is it possible along the way that the Spirit has given you an assignment and you've just been saying, no way? Until you say, I'm ready, I'm going to do it, you're going to sit there. I dare you to move. I dare you to move. Last week we closed, closed open. Last week we sang a song called Oceans. The opening words have been with me literally all week. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown where feet may fail. Here's the truth. When you take your next step, you might fall flat on your face. It might not work out the way you thought. You call me out upon the waters where feet may fail, that great unknown. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. Song, of course, is an allusion to the story of Peter. The disciples are out on that lake, the beautiful lake that's absolutely stormy at this point. They think they're going to die. Jesus comes walking to them on the water. And there he is standing there, and these sailors think they see a ghost. And Jesus says, "It is I. Don't be afraid." And then Peter throws out the test. He says, "Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." And today, I would throw to you your next step. "Lord, if it's really you, encourage me to get out of the boat. Tell me to get out of the boat. Tell me to take my foot to the other side. Tell me to go ahead and test out the water." Here's what I love. Jesus said, "Yes, come." And Peter, in that moment, a lot of us want to go straight to the fact that he sunk. Oh, his foot went under the water. Only other human being in the history of earth besides Jesus that walked on water. We can't put that one on our resume. He walked on water because when he asked, "Lord, is it okay for me to take my next step?" Jesus said, "Yes, come." And he didn't say, "Well, that was a neat theory. I wish I'd have tried that." He did it. When are you going to finally take that next step that is holding you back from your growth? You would not be very satisfied today if you were going to your 18-year-old's preschool graduation. They've mastered preschool. They got that puppy down. You go, "Are you kidding me? Really?" Is that where a lot of us are spiritually? We've mastered spiritual kindergarten. We've got that down. What about the obedience of elementary school? What about the emotional control of junior high? What about the relationship work of high school? What about the knowledge of college? What about getting to know why you're here of graduate school? What about lifelong learning that takes everything you thought you knew so well and flips it back out on the rug and says, "Now we're going to relearn it. Now we're going to figure out what was really going on here." Are you going to take your next step or not? This summer provides you an opportunity to do it. And I simply say once again, I dare you to move. I dare you. I dare you to move. Let's talk to our Father in heaven. The fact is, God, you do call us out on the water. That great unknown where our feet may fail. But you are standing on that water saying, "Come to me." God, we need to give up the contentment of standing where we are. Show us by your Spirit what that next step is. And honestly, that next step is probably something that we've been saying, "No way. No way. Not going to do it. Not going to go there. No way." And in the process, we grieve your Spirit. We quench his power. We resist him as he hands us that syllabus and says, "It's time to get growing." And so, Lord, I pray that this would be a summer of tremendous growth for all of us, that we wouldn't take pride in the fact that we've mastered kindergarten, but that we would move on to spiritual heights and depths, because you've called us there and we dare not resist your call. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I want to give you a real tangible chance to think about your steps. Now, on your card that Brian encouraged you to put a name on, on the back side, we have a section called Next Steps. And you might take this during communion and think about it. I offer you 5 suggestions. You can come up with your own. They start with the question, "My next step?" Maybe you're saying, "My next step? I don't have a clue. My next step? I know it, and I'm doing it. My next step? I know it, and I'm resisting it. My next step? It's been a long time since I've thought about it. My next step, I'm open to the Spirit's direction, and I will pray for it." Maybe one or more of those apply to you, and you check them off. Maybe none of them apply to you, but you could write something better than what we have. Use this as an opportunity to make that commitment to your next step. And as you do, we're going to be listening to and watching a song that it's probably a little bit more, what's the right word? Not rocky, not jazzy, but more up there than your typical communion quiet song. but it's going to earworm that statement into your mind for the week. I dare you. I dare you to move.
Welcome to existence. Everyone's here. Everyone's here. Everybody's watching you now. Everybody waits for you now. What happens next? What happens next? I dare you. Welcome to the fallout. Welcome to resistance. The tension is here. The tension is here. Between who you are and who you could be. Between how it is.
God, thank you again every week for this time of communion where we get to sit back and reflect on the sacrifice that you've given us. God, I just pray that this week we would dare to move, that we'd be pushed out of our comfort zones and work for you, God. Pray that you would give us those opportunities. I pray this on your name. Amen. As our servers come to receive the morning offering, there's a couple things I'd like to let you know about. So as you As you know, we are very close to summer. As the high schoolers graduate today, I know everyone's itching for this warmer weather, and yeah, today is muggy, but we're getting there. We have a summer service time change. So in 2 weeks, you guys are going to need to show up 30 minutes earlier or an hour later. So we're, again, in 2 weeks, on June 7th, we're starting the new service times at 9 and 10:30, which again, two services in the summer is exciting. It's cool because we haven't done that in so long, but we need it now. So very cool stuff. Also, if you look at that folder that you got on your way in, there are a ton of dates on there, and a lot of them are important to me because they're all student dates. So if you have a student or you are a student, go ahead, take that folder. Don't throw it away on your way out the door. Take it home. Write down those dates. We've got some exciting stuff happening over the summer. So again, start to fill up that calendar, and don't miss out on all that stuff. So our summer series is also going to start in 2 weeks. And as you know, over the past few summers, we've done a series called Dive, where we take the time to get deeper into subjects, get a fuller understanding of things, and really have a meaningful experience in learning about different stuff. So we've done a Dive series on the Holy Spirit. We've done a Dive series in the book of Ephesians. And so this series, we're going to be... you'll have to come to find out. We have it all planned out. We've got some exciting stuff going on. But again, so in 2 weeks, come check that out. We'll be getting into something really exciting, something really moving for throughout the whole summer. So you don't want to miss the start of that. So again, in 2 weeks, 9 o'clock or 10:30, you can come check that out. As for summer journey groups, we're going to mix things up this summer. Instead of doing our normal weekly thing, we're going to have a bunch of one-time opportunities for you to get involved. We have, again, so many different things that we can do, and through these one-time serves, we hope that you develop new relationships with people who you haven't gotten involved with before, because, again, everyone's got different interests. So, that said, the first one is going to be happening this Saturday from 7 to 4, and I know that a lot of you missed out on the opportunity to hack down trees and do some burning. Well, you're going to get another opportunity. So Dave Pappage is going to be leading a team, again, here from 7 to 4 on this Saturday. So if you have a chainsaw and you want to fire it up, get it going, bring it out. If you are an axe man, go ahead and bring it out. So again, it's for guys, but... girls, you can come out too, all right? You can try and show everybody up. But again, so if you want to do that, you can go ahead and call Dave Pappage at 815-210-8480. Okay, so again, that's our first one, and we're looking forward to a summer serving. So go ahead and get involved in that.
Thanks, Brian.
And now for our 5-minute rewind.
So one of the things I did want to point out, you have this inside of your folder this morning. It says Cornerstone Fund on it. This is the group that... helped us with the mortgage to be able to move into this place. And the main reason we gave it to you is on the inside, you may recognize some writing on the floor. It's an article about our church. So we thought you might like to read that. And just, again, the way we were able to talk about how God pulled together all the pieces in order to give us this new home. So got some good tweets this morning. We found that putting the tweet up on the screen sometimes actually just like totally crashes the computer. So we're working on that piece, but I can still tell you what the tweet is, and we can go from there. So Nikki asks a great question. How do I know if it's the Lord calling me out on the water or if it's the devil and I'm putting words into his mouth? How does it work? How do I know if I'm actually hearing from God or maybe not just the devil, but I'm hearing myself? I'm hearing my own desires and trying to put words into the mouth of God. And I would say the first thing on that is, in a sense, you're a third of the way home because you have the realization. I mean, a lot of people think everything they want to do is from God. And everything they don't want to do is not from God. And so, you know, nice and easy, if I want it, it must be a God thing. Well, not everything you want to do is a God thing. Some things are wrong things. And so, you know, certainly one of the questions is the moral question. Does it pass the moral question or not? Is it right or is it wrong? But I think on some of this stuff, it is really helpful, not easy, but it is helpful to have a good, strong, spiritual friend that is more than willing to tell you the truth. And those are hard to find because a lot of friends think the only way they can stay your friend is if they tell you what you want to hear. But there's nothing like a friend who would be more than willing to say, that's interesting.
and just kind of sit with that for a second. That's interesting. And there, that's interesting is in part a way of saying, really? What you smoking, dude? Dudette? What's going on there? Having those spiritual friends in our lives is helpful. And here's the thing I've found throughout the years. Typically when guidance is not from God, it's from Satan, the devil, it's from our desires, we avoid asking for input. We don't talk to our spiritual friends. We don't talk to anyone else. We just dive in. Why? Because we know other people would say, what you smoking? We know they'd say, are you kidding me? Really? And so we resist asking for the guidance. So I think a big piece of it is letting enough other people in my life, and that may literally be one or two other spiritually grounded people who you know will tell you the truth. And they're willing to take the time to say, here's what I'm hearing. They're not going to say, do this or do that. They're going to say, here's what I'm hearing. Here's what I'm hearing you saying. And part of what I'm hearing is not, I think, from God. Part of it is from a bad place. So that's a, think about it for 5 minutes answer, okay? Peter asked, what is the best way to find out God's purpose for me? I figured a question like this would come up. Anytime you talk about God's purpose for your life, people are like, okay, so how do I find out? What course do I take? There's got to be a test. What do I do in order to figure out why I'm here? And you know what? There are courses and there are tests and all that sort of stuff. And when we talk in the shape class that we've offered in the past, we've said the best way to discover your giftedness is to start trying some things. Do it. You don't discover your gifts through a test. You discover your gifts through testing them, through trying some things, through seeing what happens. I will say this. I think we live in a generation that is kind of, well, we're narcissistic. You know, we care a lot about us. We care a lot about our happiness. And even in part, and I'm not saying this about you, Peter, this is in general. The desire to figure out our purpose for existence a lot of times is more self-centered than God-centered. It's about, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to start a conference. My name is going to be great and big and in lights and everybody's going to know me. I would dare say a lot of the purpose of our life is not going to be known until we're standing before the throne and Jesus is saying, so here's why I put you on earth. And he's going to tell us and we're going to go, oh my word, I didn't have a clue. I was just doing what I was supposed to do every day. I was being a good mom. I was being a good dad. I was being a great employee. You know, we get the idea somehow that we got to be a missionary and go to Zimbabwe. And that now we found God's call. Did you ever think that God may have you working in a restaurant in Joliet because that's God's call on your life? You see, we don't talk that way and think that way. The life you're living, lived well for God, is the life God wants you to live. And we're always trying to find something super fantastic out here, when in fact, it is sometimes living spiritually is very ordinary. There's a lot of ordinary in life, isn't there? We don't just jump from supernatural to supernatural all the time. There's a lot of ordinary. But are we living the ordinary in a godly way? That's what God is calling us to live this life. Are you able to be as good a Christian when you drive out of here as you are in here? Because you are all great Christians while you're sitting here. Unless you're like cursing at me in your head, you're at least not screaming it out loud. You know, you are great Christians sitting here. How do you do when you're out there? That's God's call on our life. So try some things. I got to admit, there have been times in my life that I have wondered why I exist. I have wondered why here, why now? Way back early on, this was a tough church. Back into the early mid-90s, late 90s, it was a tough place to be. And I remember one time I was driving across the bridge in Joliet back to the west side. And I'm just like, God, is this where you want me? Why am I here? Just lightning bolt now, take me to heaven. I don't know why in the world I exist. And at that moment, I was reminded of the fact that within the past 6 months prior, we had helped a little girl out of a situation where basically she was being molested by a parent. And as I'm driving, I'm not kidding, spontaneous tears. And I'm just like, you know what? If that's the only reason that I'm on earth, that she can wake up every day and be safe, good enough. Good enough. And I think a lot of times we look at our lives and we think it's supposed to go from supernatural to supernatural. There may be this one event that God says, that's why you're here, good deal. I suspect it's not just one. But for the most part, it's about being faithful in the moment, doing what you're supposed to do in the moment, and just do it well. Do it well. So, you know, Brother Lawrence, it was, wrote the book, Practicing the Presence of God. Here's a guy who says, I wash dishes to the glory of God. Can you wash dishes to the glory of God? Most of us think, I got to wash the dishes so I can go glorify God. Can you do what you do every day to the glory of God? That's the divine calling on every one of us. And truth be told, we're kind of skipping the course and just jumping straight to the lifelong learning. The lifelong learning piece is when you go, I've been trying to figure out why I'm here. I've been trying to figure out my special purpose. And the reality is all I'm supposed to be doing is living this thing faithfully every day. Just being faithful to God in every moment. So, all right, we're out of time. I know you love being here and you want to stay for at least 2 more hours, but you know. Right. We got another service and all that. So why don't you stand up? If you were new today, make sure you bring that card to the door. I got a gift for you. Thanks again for your questions. Great job. I'm going to pray real quick. All right. Now, God, as we leave this place, I pray that we would be as good a Christians as we drive on the street as we've been sitting in this room today. That we'd be as great a follower of Jesus Christ on our jobs as we are when we stand here and sing. That we would be as wonderful to our home family as we are to our church family. Help us to live for you in faithful, full devotion every moment of our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Be nice and say hi to somebody before you leave.
You brought me to your light. You showed me new.